Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we go. It is a minute past the hour on this, the 19th day of October 2016. Oh, get out the Kaopectate, get out the laudanum, get out the Thorazine darts. It's debate night. Oh, Jesus, it's debate night. God almighty, it's debate night. Yeah, not so much laudanum. What's it? Paregoric, that's what I'm looking for. Get out the paregoric. You're gonna need one end or the other, the Lamotil or the paregoric, pick one. Because this is not going to be any better than the other two. Three, if you count the Hoosier half-wit. Oh, God. All day long. It's been like, oh. But hey, at least I'm not getting preempted. Thanks, Thomas. Over at FYINation.com, I'm not getting preempted. They finally wised up and realized that 30 more minutes of me beats them all out of, you know, that. I wonder what Malloy will be doing. Maybe potting them up periodically just to see what kind of nonsense is going down. They've allegedly found another woman from, in this case, 1980, who says that Bill Clinton wanted a little too bad to have sexy time with her back in Arkansas. I'm sure we'll hear about that. I mean, are the people who tune into this stuff, have they installed bleach showers in their homes? Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid, and I don't know about you, but I made a special trip across the river today knowing that it was debate night and knowing that this is my job to watch this kind of foolishness. And I picked up a bottle of the nastiest, most rot-gut tequila I could find. Cuervo! God bless you, Bart Cop, wherever you aren't. And I got my swirly straw. I got the industrial strength 1.75 Cuervo in a drum. And it's going to take every daggum drop. Phew! Yuck! Mercy sakes alive. Agnes has said she won't have anything to do with being anywhere. No. And, of course, Chris Wallace is the moderator tonight, so, it ought to just be a real entertainment bonanza. You got a right to start a little fight? Bonanza? No. But before we ever get there, brethren and sistren, the 19th of October 2016 in our arbitrary dating system turns out to be a Wednesday. That's right. It's hump day. It's the middle of the week. Downhill to Friday. But oh, brethren and sistren, hot glory! It is, oh, so much more than that. Oh! It is prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn, brethren and sistren. And I tell you what, we gotta gird up our loins with the power of the Almighty as we head into debate time in Merca this evening. And if anybody's fortified, they're fortified as they're sitting there in the pews after what happened in the fellowship hall this evening. Oh, brethren and sistren, it was mighty good. This is the time of year for your harvest root crop vegetables. And there was a slow-cooked pork loin roast, you know, seasoned with black pepper and fresh garlic. Slow-roasted with carrots and potatoes and some parsnips and the very, very last of this year's fresh green beans, half runners, of course. All cooked down with a big slab of bacon for flavor. Cornbread or round, pie or square. Cornbread baked in ancient cast iron skillets. And a fresh baked apple pie, because it's that time here in the hills and hollers of almost level west by Cole, Virginia, when the apples is coming on ripe and tart and wonderful. Oh, yeah. That pie, my God, it was so fresh and hot. It just about guaranteed to burn the roof of your mouth when you eat it. Assuming, of course, that you are a deacon here in the Cathedral of Common Sense, because, well, it's going to be a long time before anything burns the roof of the mouth of the little ones, because they never get near the dessert table. The deacons see to that. My goodness gracious, it was good. I'd go back for seconds if the deacons had. My goodness gracious, where that pork loin was, you know, there's always some pan juices. They was over there sopping at them pan juices with the last crumbs of the cornbread, the deacons were. And with good reason. With good reason. Oh. But after the apple pie was done, you know, pour a little hot half and half from the coffee service over it just to take a little bit of the heat out of it. Oh! Well, the deacons trundled their massive bulk up the couple of flights of stairs and out into the parking lot where they stood there chain-smoking with the sinners. Mm-hmm. Until such time as Sister Carol Baker appeared at the vestibule door with the solar-powered cattle prod. And, you know, just the touch of that thing to one deacon, and it runs all the way through the deaconate, like how when you swat at one yeller jacket, all of a sudden all the other yeller jackets know about it. Only they don't move like yeller jackets, they just kind of trundle. But they got a trundling, and they blew through that vestibule door past that newly desiccating, it's only a few months now, bowl of butter mints, and down the center aisle. And they're waiting right here in front, brethren and sistren, because it's an important and a special, well, day. This is our 11th anniversary prayer meeting, brethren and sistren, because by this time next week, we will be 11 year old here at the Horn. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to, they're waiting with their big old heavy brass plates with the burgundy colored velvet there in the lining of the bottom. So, and the reason for that is so that the rest of the cathedral is not unduly disturbed by the sound of change hitting the bottom of the plate. That's what that's for in the bottom, in case you're wondering. And they're waiting, and they're gonna move among you, brethren and sistren. They're gonna move among you. And brethren and sistren, we're going to try to raise, you know, we closed out last night with a fundraising goal of $510. Well, thanks to our subscribers, folks like Dr. Allen and Joseph and Nancy. Thank you, Nancy. And Brother Tosh, And Jim and Kurt, and last but not least, our dear friend Edward. We do not have a $510 fundraising goal this evening. No. We have ourselves imagine this, a $390 fundraising goal. And that is substantially less than $510. So, brethren and sistren, Brother Deacon Gerald, chair of the Building and Grounds Committee, informs me, the deacons are looking for folding money tonight, Brother Bob. The coins don't add up very fast. Yeah, exactly. And so we got a $390 fundraising goal to come even with the middle of the week, now that we are well past the middle of the month. And so at a little nod from yours truly, they will begin to fan out into the congregation and pass the plate. And with this being prayer meeting Wednesday before anniversary Monday, it sure would be mighty fine if we could knock down the $390 we need to raise this evening, brethren and sisters. It would be mighty fine indeed. So, with every head bowed and every eye closed, except for the one that you keep just kind of squinted open a little bit to keep from getting cronked in the head with that big brass plate with the blood red liner. Push that little button that says PayPal in the bottom and pass it on. Not puff pass, damn it. Drop a little something in and pass it on. And I will call forward the minister of music to lead us in our offertory hymn. Again, with every head bowed and every eye closed, brother minister of music, if you would, please.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, ooh-ee, ooh-ah-ah, ting-tang, wah-wah-bing-bang. sing I love you. Oh, brethren and sisters, welcome to prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. Glory, hallelujah, amen. I'm calling on you, brethren and sisters, to get up out of your seats and onto your feet. Kind of shimmy and slink your way out. I know the leg room's poorly, but get on out of the pews and into the center aisle and come on down that blood red aisle and fall, brethren and sistren, upon your knees. Ha! Glory! At the altar. Ha! Amen. And lay your hands upon the heaven subwoofer and feel the healing rays. Hallelujah, amen, glory. Pass me a snake of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. I am Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonized Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Bob Kincaid, and it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the horn. Glory, hallelujah. Ha! Yes, indeed. Indeed it is. And we begin this evening, brethren and sisters, with special greetings and salutations and hallucinations, brethren and sisters, to our dear brother Sparky. Yes, indeed, brother Sparky has completed another circuit around the sun. Say happy birthday to Brother Deacon Sparky, would you, as he has done such yeoman service over the years as the longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator. Amen and amen. Glory. Say happy birthday to Brother Sparky. Amen. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And he has, in fact, folded space because he is a third-stage guild navigating deacon and has become Man Cave there in the far reaches of Northern California. Amen and amen. I've just had a report from parishioner Tim from L.A. Subject line, smoking in the parking lot, what about the vapors? Brother Bob, better tell Sister Carol Baker to take that cattle prod to the narthex as they're... Narthex. I always feel like I need a shot of penicillin after I say that. Take the cattle prod to the narthex as there's a new group of sinners vaping inside God's room. You can't smell the vape, but the evil nicotine is contaminating the hallowed grounds. Oh, God... you get on that too, would you, Brother Deacon Gerald? Because that falls under your auspices there at Building and Grounds. God Almighty, they're vaping in the narthex. Next thing you know, they'll narfle the Garthog. People. All them vaping and nicotining. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Now, I'm sorry, Sparky, once you've been elevated to the deaconate, there's no turning back. Deacon Sparky, thou art, henceforward. It's like Jonah trying to run away from his prophetic order in Nineveh. Now, I have yet to figure out how one leaves, say, Jerusalem, to get to Nineveh, brethren and sistren, where, by the way, they have been fighting a mighty battle lately. With the ISIS and the anti-ISIS rebels and Syrian rebels and probably some Iranians and some Merkin airstrikes flying over. It's been that whole battle has been taking place, brethren and sistren, on the Nineveh plain. Now you can tell if I'm talking about ISIS. And the Nineveh plain is in the Iraq. Okay, it's on the run up to a little place called Mosul. But once upon a time, it had a city on it called Nineveh. Now you'll note that your Nineveh on no map whatsoever is anywhere near the ocean. But just as Jonah tried to flee from his mission to Nineveh, Sparky, you can't flee the deaconate, brother. And so you need a boat to get away from having to go to a city in the middle of the desert. Mickle mysterious are the ways of Almighty God. That's all I can tell you, brethren and sistren. But they've been fighting a ferocious battle out there, because apparently in a heathen prophecy, there's a place called Defuck or something, Dequeef, or it's a little bit of nothing, but some of your more bizarre forms of Muslim eschatology suggest that the great battle of the end times is going to happen there, and the 12th Imam's going to show up, and there's going to be a coalition of 80 armies, and here's the problem. You know, it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. We talk about all religions on Prayer Meeting Wednesday, brethren and sisters. Being as how the ISIS has been getting its ass kicked, the PR arm of ISIS put out a release saying, "The final battle of the time to end all times has been postponed because all of the conditions for the final battle have not been met for us to join battle in Defuck." Or Dubuque. Wherever. Dubuque. That's it. Dubuque. By the way, note coming from Brother Deacon Gerald to Brother Deacon Ace, to Brother Deacon Sparky. Sparky can't quit the deaconate. It's like a gang. If you want out, you get beaten out. Oh, don't cross a deacon with a candelabrum in his hand. Don't do it. But so the end times battle of all battles has been postponed. Betsy points out that we Jews just read the story of Jonah last week on Yom Kippur. And, of course, that is the highest of high holy days in the Jewish faith. There's just a lot of stuff in that book that just don't make a lot of sense to me. God says, go to Nineveh, a dusty and desert place. And Jonah says, I really don't want to, God. What do you say I get on this boat over here? God said, Nineveh is in the middle of the desert, dumbass. I'll get there. Next thing you know, he's looking at the innards of a whale from the inside out. Well, it says big fish, not whale. Who's counting? It's the Bible. It's on a roll. But no, they're fighting a mighty battle. There's 4,500 ISIS fighters in a city of about 1 million there in Mosul. And they're saying it's going to building, street to street, and hand to hand to knock out 4,500 amateurs. The whole area is booby-trapped with roadside bombs, trenches filled with oil, stuff that would make Caesar proud. The question is, will it slow down a modern mechanized army? I don't know. But the Iraqis swear that they will... That they will fight to the last man before they throw down all the weapons that have been given to them and run screaming into the night. Because that's what Iraqi armies do best. I don't know. But, no, so, where? How the hell? Goodness me. It's Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. And you remember how once upon a time that seems so very, very long ago, all the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexuals was in a state of plumb near the vapors, not the vapors there in the narthex, these different vapors. This is the VAPORS, not the VAPERS, just so we're clear. The plumb near had the vapors because they was afraid some man in a dress was going to go a-groping after their Mayellers there in the women's room. Mm-hmm. Then it turns out they're God's chosen nominee for the Republican ticket and the presidency of the United States. Didn't need no bathroom to go a-groping around on women. He just said well, you know what he said, right?
Mm-hmm.
But 1 million moms, which is probably more like 32 moms on a good day. One million moms is still out there protecting us from the transgender gropers in the ladies' rooms of your various Targets and whatnot. And now they're real worried, because see, there's this one clothing corporation called H&M.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently H&M is all trendy and hip. Oh, well, son of a gun. Laurel just let me know. You can find a lot of boats in Dubuque. It's right on the mighty Mississippi, after all.
Mm-hmm.
Is the ISIS in Dubuque, Laurel? Maybe the problem's worse than we thought. I think it's Dubique, Dabiq.
Hmm.
Yeah. But no, H&M sells hip, trendy clothes, apparently. I mean, it's no Old Navy, but still. Is Old Navy still around? Did they declare bankruptcy? Just kind of came and went? I don't know. We ain't got none, so I wouldn't. It's West Virginia. Hell, we can't get a Crystal or a Popeyes, for God's sakes. We ain't got no H&M, I don't think. Or S&M, for that matter, or BDSM, or... Never mind. Oh, did I do the high... Yeah, I did that. That's part of the prayer meeting Wednesday thing. Just checking. Making sure Tim's not falling down on the job. Calliope. Yeah. Had to work that one in there just for Tim. Calliope. Hate to waste a perfectly good visit to the chat room by Tim not saying Calliope. And by the way, if you wander by the chat room this prayer meeting Wednesday, you will be greeted by Tim from L.A. and Texas Betsy and Stockton Larry and Labor Man and Chug a Punch and Hoghead and Anatole. Yes, you will. All headed up by, of course, longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, known this evening as Man Cave. Because apparently he does not wish to go to Nineveh. Or something. I'm going to get back to this story one way or another. So here's how it works out. H&M has an ad campaign. And that ad campaign features a dress being sold by H&M. It's got little spaghetti straps and, you know, it just stops right above the breastises in a straight line there. I think this is referred to as minimalism. And 1 million moms wants to boycott H&M because of who's in the picture there of the H&M dress. The model wearing it has rippling muscles and hair done back in cornrows. And, of course, the model has the wrong color skin to begin with and a sort of a clutch purse tucked under one arm. And the 1 million moms, who apparently do not have the collective effects of one single brain, say, H&M's newest She's a Lady commercial includes what appears to be a man dressed as a woe man in one segment, another woman wearing skimpy lingerie, and ends with two teenage girls kissing while underwater. H&M marketing team may have thought this type of advertising was politically correct, but not only is it disgusting and confusing for children, it is pushing the LGBT agenda.
Mm-hmm.
The transgender woman in a dress. That's not a transgender woman. That's a woman. A woman. Just woman. And her name is Fatima Pinto. And Fatima Pinto is a championship Muay Thai fighter. And yes, she has some seriously rippling arm muscles. And yes, she is mighty strong looking and could probably whip all 1 million moms with one little pinky finger. But she is, first and foremost, a woman. You know, born that way, as it were. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't slow down the 1 million moms. Because they don't want Fatima Pinto going into the women's room neither. Oh, Jesus Christ. Misplaced priorities, I'm telling you. Meanwhile, they'll let their children around Donald Trump. Go figure. It's disgusting and confusing for a woman to wear women's clothing. What do you want to bet 1 million moms has a guy as a president? Atne ute aitbre, if you one what I in may, the unway, ilian may, arms may. And that's fine. We got lots of fun. School's in session, so we're going to have some Christian hissies over that. This is one for the ages. This really is. Because, see, if you're a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, you have to be constantly on guard here in America. The greatest country in the history of the world, on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. Because the filthy sins of secularism is all over the place. Mm-hmm. Enter a Christian mama. A Christian mama who was driving her children somewhere. And she usually has the good Christian music going on her radio. But she let one of, apparently a demon got hold of one of her young'uns, and she let the young'un change the radio station to one that was playing the sinful, evil, secular rap music of the demon-infested those people. In particular, they heard this here song, okay? Yeah.
Bitch, you thirsty, please grab Sprite. My crib's lurking, don't die tonight. I just wanna dance with you, baby. Just don't move too fast, I'm too crazy. Man, down the avenue, get shaded. Take a nigga mind off that. We can dip fuck in the whip, slide right back in the function. One wrong word, start busting. Put that on my Yankee hat. I'm a gangster crib, fuck gangster rap. Where the ladies at, where the hoes, where the bitches. Every real nigga know the difference. Bandana brown like a dope daddy shooting in the kitchen room. Northside nigga never went to pilot. What's a nigga brio? Cocaine color of a Creole. T-scrap moving for the D-Lo, you know.
I ain't never ran from nothing but the police. I never ran from nothing but the police.
She was horrified. Absolutely disgusted in the name of Jesus. That's a song called North North. Came out a year or so ago. But the Christian mommy, she said, "This is on our local radio station. This crap is being played. I couldn't even believe the words that I was listening to. As a mom, it infuriated me." I bet she's one of them million moms. "Obviously, the cuss words were bleeped out, but I'm not stupid." Yes, you are. "I remember listening to the top hits as a kid. You know, Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, and Backstreet Boys, and NSYNC. Those were the top hits when I was a kid. Nowadays, it's not the same. Not the same at all." Yeah, Britney Spears, because she was so wholesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No fun. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, and Christina Aguilera. And, mm-hmm. Right. I guess she never saw Justin Timberlake with the thing in a box bit on Saturday night. Well, she don't stay up that late on Saturday night and see Saturday Night Live, because after all, you know, she has to get to church on Sunday. Bless her heart, she went on for 11 minutes, and no, we're not going to do that. It was fun, but somewhere along the way, she pulled it off of YouTube. Because she got a little famouser than she wanted to be when everybody started saying, "Honey, you are dumber than shit." She said, "I'll never listen to that radio station again, ever. I'm shaking. I cannot believe this was on our local radio station. Top hits. Top hits. I just don't understand why they think that's okay. As a mom... Man, I'm raising four little girls, and that just breaks my heart." It breaks your heart that you're raising four little girls? Well, okay. I tell you, don't let them around Donald Trump. He'll grab them by the... Well, never mind. You're probably Trump voting anyway.
I tell you right now, music has a strong influence on our children. I normally never listen to that radio station. It's almost like I was meant to hear it to let you guys know about it. I don't know.
True. Brother Deacon Gerald pointing out that the correct response to her saying, I'm not stupid, would be, "Of course you're not. Bless your heart. God love you. You're not." That way the entire world knows, yes, she is. Thank you for that quick translation, Brother Deacon Gerald. And, you know, that's Brother Deacon Asa pointing out, how are those lyrics much different than Trump's "Gotta Grab 'Em by the..." Well, they're not much, except for one thing. See, Trump is reliably white. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that the one word that a good Christian mom didn't object to was the one that I do. You know, the racial epithet that... Yeah. Christianity. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Kellyanne Conway... Oh, God. Says that Pumpkin Spice Hitler, and remember, as of last night, we have suspended the Hitler rule for purposes of referring to Donald Trump as Pumpkin Spice Hitler, courtesy of Michael in Madison. I've been laughing about that for almost, well, I'd say about 22 hours now, Pumpkin Spice Hitler. Pumpkin Spice Hitler, according to Kellyanne Conway, has a plan to defeat the Islam. All 1.8 billion of them, going to feed them. This, of course, happened on MSNBC, which is drawn to Trump the way moths are to open flames. And no matter how many times Mika and Joe get burned, they just flutter right back to it. Let's take a minute. Get the hockey pucks out. Because this is too precious to... Yeah, right. Yeah. Shall we? Do
let's. Every week. I don't know if they get covered. He'll talk for 45 minutes. And nobody can tell you what the theme was because nobody wants to cover the theme. They cover one tweet or they cover one comment.
I'm going to say
that's not true. But he's been talking about that.
That's not true. When Donald Trump continues to say... In inner cities, look at the polls, look who's there, the system is rigged, that's hard for me to ignore.
No, I understand that, and you should cover the news as you see it. In addition, though, if you're saying that, I'm saying he also is giving plans. He gave a 10-point Veterans Administration reform plan, 5-point plan to defeat Islam, 4-point plan for middle class. Actually, if yesterday is his multi-point plan to, I think, to, as he says, drain the swamp, the number one trending term on Twitter yesterday.
Yep. He's got him a 5-point plan to defeat the Islam. How do you do that? I mean, is he just going to declare a religion with 1.8 billion adherents? Are these the proscription lists of Sulla in ancient Rome? Because I think he's going to have a pretty hard time. That's the thing about religion. It tends to get its hooks in people when they're little. And that makes it hard that, you know, and youngins, there aren't any youngins around, are there? Run them out of the room real quick. I'll give you a minute. Well, I'm talking about little ones. 10, 9, 8, 7... 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And seeing how some of the language gets used on this program, you probably don't have the little ones listening too much anyway, but I understand that. It's a tough sell, and there's a lot of psychology behind this that I don't fully understand. But children figure it out. About Santa Claus, the Tooth Fairy, and the Easter Bunny, and the Great Pumpkin. That's on TV tonight, by the way. I got a rock. They figure those things out, but they never quite figure out religion. Because religion is tied to death. And being tied to death, it has a profound hold over life. And if you're born in, say, Talabama, chances are approaching 99% that you're going to be raised some kind of Christian. Church of Christ, Southern Baptist, a few little enclaves of your mackerel-snapping Roman Catholics. And, I mean, there's some Jewish folks in Alabama, and there's some Muslim folks in Alabama, but mostly you're going, if you're born in America, odds are you're going to be raised some kind of Christian by a pretty wide majority. Same thing goes for the Muslim world. If you're born in the Muslim world, you're probably going to be raised Muslim. If you're in parts of India, Hindu. Maybe in Japan, Buddhism. You get the idea. So it's desperately difficult to tear somebody away from the threats that have been impressed upon them from birth. That there's a great big bearded juvenile delinquent sky man up there who is gonna crush your little skull between his thumb and index finger like opening a bolt peanut if you don't do what some human here on earth tells you to do. That, you see, is how religion works. Bless their hearts, the Soviets tried so hard to break the Russian people of their really, really debilitating fascination with Orthodox Christianity. And as soon as the Soviet Union fell apart, man, the church was there. And you might recall that Pussy Riot got imprisoned for making fun of what? That's right, religion. Pussy Riot was imprisoned for their political speech in which they criticized the Russian Orthodox Church. Yeah, old Lenin and Stalin and Trotsky and Prokofiev and Stravinsky and Marx, and it's all just spinning in their graves. But even 70 years, that's a couple of generations, couldn't cleanse Russia of the filthy, debilitating effects of religion. And I suspect the Chinese have not been any too particularly successful at it either. Because nobody can. It's a function of human evolution. Human evolution, which, by the way, the Hoosier halfwit, Mike Pence, said when he was a member of the Congress of the United States, well, let's just see if we can find Mike Pence here real quick and let him say it in his own Hoosier halfwit way. Because it's pretty special. Ah, there's Mike Pence. Yes, let's go there now. Take a moment. Get the hockey puck out. Tear off a few strips of duct tape. There, all ready.
And Charles Darwin offered a theory of the origin of species, which we've come to know as evolution. Charles Darwin never thought of evolution as anything other than a theory. He hoped that someday it would be proven by the fossil record, but did not live to see that, nor have we. Well, the truth is, it always was a theory, Mr. Speaker. And now that we've recognized evolution as a theory, I would simply and humbly ask, can we teach it as such? And can we also consider teaching other theories? The Bible tells us that God created man in his own image, male and female, he created them. And I believe that. Mr. Speaker, I believe that God created the known universe, the earth, and everything in it, including man. And I also believe that someday scientists will come to see that only the theory of intelligent design provides even a remotely rational explanation for the known universe. But let us demand that educators around...
Emphasis on the word remotely. Remotely rational. Because intelligent design presumes that there's some degree of intelligence, for instance, in the creation of the appendix. Yes. Or the wisdom teeth. Or the various plague and disease-bearing bugs, like, say, the mosquito, lovingly created by Almighty God, so that back then, so that we could have the Zika virus now. Intelligent design. Intelligent design, as proven by the intelligence of the Hoosier halfwit, Mike Pence. Great googly moogly. So, I'd like for... I'd personally like for Mike Pence to test out germ theory, because it's only a theory. How could Mike Pence test out germ theory? Well, let's get him some some Ebola virus, and he can just maybe take an injection of it and see if he can if his God intelligently designed a way for him to survive the Ebola. Right. Our country. Hey, happy news. We've only got $378.89 to go. Ha 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 ha. I'm getting better at this ciphering on the fly thing. Thanks for the practice, everybody. Because Glenn jumped in. The fundraising goal is the plate passed by Brother Glenn, and he dropped in an amount that took us from $390 to $378.11 and 89 cents. $378.89. Uh-huh. Yep. Thank you very kindly, Glenn. Hopefully you'll have some neighbors, some companies, some friends. And we always welcome new subscribers, because they fall off, they come on, and new subscribers do get bumper stickers. Yes. Just click that little box there at Contribute at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Fill out all the information except what you do and where you do it. And click that little box that says Make This a Recurring Monthly Donation. And you will be part of the working on the Happy 100 as we still dream of someday reaching the fearless 400, so I can stop doing things like fundraising on air and just do the program. Mm-hmm. So that. Oh, but back to prayer meeting Wednesday, because anything, honest to God, anything to keep from talking about, well, to keep from putting on the gumbo hip waders and going off into the Trumpian cesspool. You might recall that it was a year or two ago. Was it a year? Was it two? When a preacher in, I think, Lebanon, Tennessee, got all hit up and bothered because somebody was a-teaching his precious lumpkin in the school about the Islam. Because he was a good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, homosexual Christian whose God was not strong enough to withstand public school teaching about the Islam. Well, the disease is metastasizing a bit, or maybe it was just her turn. Enter Michelle Edmiston. She's a Christian mother, and she's from Tennistan. And her precious lump can come home with a worksheet, and it had questions on it. Questions no good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, American child ever should need to be having to know nothing about. Precious Lumpkin Edmiston come home, and she had a worksheet. And it had a question on it that said, and it was William, fill in the blank ones. The demons is in the blanks. That's where they get you, in the blanks. It wasn't even multiple choice where you had a decent Christian chance of getting it right. There it was. The question said, Islam's holy book is called the blank. And it was a long blank, too. So she could have said, Islam's holy book, precious lumpkin Edmiston. She could have said, Islam's holy book is called the Book Full of Demons, writ by a illiterate Arab. Because it don't take but a little bit of space to write Quran. Q-U-R-A-N. I don't know if they take points off for not having the apostrophe, or adding the U for that matter, or not spelling it with a K. But it was worst. Questions 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 asked that precious little God-fearing American child, wake up, sheeple. To list the five pillars of Islam. There's the bed pillar, and the propping up pillar, and the pillar on the floor, and the pillar what you put between your in betwixt your knees to keep your back from hurting at night. And there's the throw pillar on the sofa. Yep. Five pillars of Islam. And we can't have American children learning that Islam has five pillars. Over in Sunni Islam, which is like your Presbyterian Islam, you got your five pillars is Shahada, which means faith. That's where you got to walk around all the time saying there is no God, but there is no God but God, and Muhammad is his prophet. Or there is no God but God, and Muhammad makes a prophet. I don't know. And then there's salat, which is what comes before your main course. You get your salat. No. Salat, prayer. And that means you gotta, whatever you're doing, you gotta drop everything five times a day and throw down a rug and put your head on the ground and pray toward Mecca. At Fajr, dawn, Dur, noon, Asr, afternoon, Maghrib, evening, and Isha, night. I don't know why they can't just say it and just say dawn, noon, afternoon, evening, and night. I mean, the Bible was written in King James English. What the hell was, why ain't it good enough for Muhammad?